Company of One, episode number 66.
Welcome to the Company of One podcast featuring Dale Callahan, dedicated to helping you find freedom in life and with your career. Learn how to not only increase your income, but take control of the income you acquire. Let's ignite that inner entrepreneur in you. Now, welcoming your host, Dale Callahan.
Okay, let's be honest. How many of you have a change plan? Changing career, changing job, maybe starting an entrepreneurial venture. You know, most people I work with, that's where they are, is they're making a change. And today I'm going to bring you somebody who works with people financially to help them prepare to make those changes. Somebody who helps them kind of think through where they're going and what changes that what's going to happen in the change. And let me just tell you the key message that Eric is going to bring to us today is just focus on what we can control, because there's so much uncertainty in the world. We have to learn to control what we can. Boy, is that a powerful message. We will be hearing from Eric Roberge in just a minute, as I interviewed him and he was getting ready to go into an entrepreneurial venture. We had a few minutes and I caught him, and we just talked a little bit about making these changes. But as we get, as we prepare for this and as we start to make changes in our life, I want to just tell you, we have to always be aware of things that may happen. Such as the last week, I was going to be doing a webinar on Wednesday night. Many of you were signed up for it, and many of you got this apology email. And I will tell you, I wrote that email, and I wrote it with a fever. So it's amazing, as my wife said, as she looked back at it and saw the email, and she said, "Wow, this one didn't have any typos at all." So apparently, I should do more of my work with a fever. But trust me, I wouldn't have been able to make it. I was barely functional enough to write the email. So thank you for those of you who signed up, and many of you have wished me well and hoped I felt better and all that. Thank you very much for all of your well wishes. And yes, I'm much more alive now. But on the good side, if you hadn't signed up for the how to build your first information product in 30 days, then you still have opportunity to do that. And from now, it's going to be showing up on let me see what date that is. It's going to be the 20. Obviously, it would help if I could look at my calendar. The 23rd. Yes, so that, and if you're listening to this podcast right as it comes out, that's going to be tomorrow. So we'll be the 23rd at 7 p.m. Central Time, and you can sign up on DaleCallahan.com. And the show notes for this show today is posted at DaleCallahan.com, and they will be at DaleCallahan.com/66. And in the office above me, I hear somebody knocking and banging on the walls. And so it's a great time to move to the interview with Eric. So without further ado, we will bring you how to make changes in your life, how to prepare for them, and hear from Eric. Thank you. Okay, welcoming to the show today, we have Eric Roberge, and he is... Well, I'm gonna just let Eric tell you where he is, but he's helping some graduate or some students to this week in entrepreneurship, and I'm welcoming Eric to the show as a person who has expertise in financial planning. And I know for so many of you out there that you're thinking about making a move, or you've recently made a move to taking it all on your own, and you need the greatest fear that we have here is, what if I run out of money? Or as Pam Slim says in her book, you know, what if I run out of money and I'm now living in a van down by the river? So we're going to kick off with that conversation. Welcome to the show, Eric.
Hey, Dale. Thanks for having me on the show today. It's great.
Tell me, just where I start everyone off, Eric, is, and the question I like to ask people is,
where did you get started? How did you start doing what you are doing now? Because it sounds like to me you don't have the corporate job. You're not showing up in a suit and tie every day, punching a time clock per se. How did you make this move?
Well, that was it's a great question. It wasn't a direct move. And I say that because I started off in financial services, you know, right out of college, and worked with State Street Bank and JP Morgan Chase, and just realized that the corporate environment in general wasn't the place for me because it squashed my creativity. I wasn't able to impact the company on a large level. I couldn't really make anything happen without a lot of red tape. So it was something that I had to leave. I had to leave the corporate world, and you know what? I didn't even plan on the move when I did it. You know, as a financial planner, I didn't plan, and that's the craziest part about it. I just took a leap, and I was running from something, and found myself in 2008 in the worst stock market since the Great Depression, trying to become an independent financial planner, and it was a disaster. And it took me about 5 years to figure out this entire industry, this new industry for me, the financial planning world, and the difference between life insurance salesmen and investment advisors and financial planners, to figure out what I wanted to do. And the only way for me to do what I wanted to do was to launch my own company. So back in 2013, I actually finally launched my own firm. And now I help people use money as a tool to live a life that they love.
You said you were running from something. I think that's an interesting analogy or reality. You know, what is it you were running from? What is it that because essentially, when I find people, we get comfortable, maybe happy, mm-hmm. maybe happy is not even the right word, but we get comfortable, we get used to what's out there, and there is a sense that a lot of people I run into that they are trying to pull away or exit or transition. So what was it that was pushing you away?
Well, there are a few things, and you know, there is a key distinction there, right? The one of the three essential steps that I think people should really take on before making the leap from, you know, a corporate job to something else is taking a look why they're doing it. And for me, like I said, I was running from something rather than jumping to something. And it makes all the difference in the world. It might sound arbitrary, but it's not. I was running from the fact that I just wasn't happy. I wasn't satisfied in my job. Like I said, I wasn't making the impact I wanted to make on the company. It was just too large for me. And I wasn't in front of people making a difference in their lives. And that was something that I really wanted to do. I didn't want to be in the back office anymore. So I knew what I didn't want, yet I didn't define what I did want.
That's a very interesting statement. I mean, because, and I'm sure that because you're mentoring people that are doing this, and you're mentoring them right now. But when I sit down with people, that seems to be the number one issue. Is somebody will ask them for a meeting from me. We're doing an hour, and 45 minutes of it will be them telling me what they don't want, why their boss is an idiot, what's wrong with their corporate or their industry, you know, and it's frustrating to me, but part of it I've come to realize what you say, and they don't know what they're after. They and like you said, their number one thing, they don't know why they're making a move except they're running from it. But they don't. But are you saying getting clarity of what you're running to is the issue?
Exactly. Yeah, there's a certain anxiety that comes with running from something, right? Even picturing when you're little and you're running from the monsters, it's scary, and you don't necessarily know where you're going, but you're separating yourself from this almost like it's your past, right? You're trying to remove yourself from this current place of discomfort, or no, you know, really it's comfort, but it's just uncomfortable being there. And if you can start to define what it is that you want, whether it's freedom from, you know, from the corporate environment, or it's more time with your family, or it's more money, or any number of things, what is the reason that you want to leave, or what is the reason that you want to move to this new position? So I think once you start to clarify what it is that you want to do, the types of jobs that are available will open up to you. So it won't be so much of a struggle trying to figure out, oh my God, you know, I know I don't want this, but I don't know what I really want. Well, you can actually figure out what you want for your life, and I'm telling you, the job will come along.
And I find that's not an easy issue. We do we have an ebook that we use, or I use for this, and we use in our university program too, called, you know, How to Find Your Calling. And it's primarily a brainstorming exercise, but it's for some people it just seems to click. They kind of know going in. Other people, they are months and months and maybe even 12 months later, or for some longer, and they're still struggling with that, figuring out what they're running toward and what's that calling and what's that passion that's driving them. I was just wondering, how long did it take before it clicked with you?
It took a bit. Like I said, you know, so I made the move in 2007 out of the corporate world. And it wasn't until 2013 that I truly was able to define what I was really passionate about in a way that I could actually do it. You know, there's a difference between talking about what you're passionate about and dreaming about it and actually making it a reality. And when I launched my firm, it was then that I could really say, okay, this is what I want to do with my life. You know, whether I am... It's almost like it's my life and my career are one. And I say that because a lot of times I find that people will end up living their life inside of their career bubble. So the parameters of their career are making their lives a certain way. And they have to pick certain things inside of that bubble to make their life work. Well, I took my life outside of that career bubble. And now I'm living my life, and I'm putting the career back inside it. So I'm living my passion on a daily basis because I'm helping people do the thing that I did, you know, transitioning from the corporate world to a small business or launching their own business, and allowing them the freedom to do whatever they want. And that's really, I love that. I don't want to retire from that ever. You know, it's something that I'm committed to. And I don't see myself ever changing that. There's always going to be some sort of mentorship or education that I provide for people forever.
Yeah, I love that. I mean, to me, the idea of retirement is kind of a weird concept anyway. And if you're doing what you love, it's really hard to do that. But I love it. People do. I mean, I see people trying to separate their life into their corporate life. And I mean, the whole thing that you see. The psychologists say, and you know, when somebody asks you what you're doing, what do you do for a living? You know, which is for guys especially, that's generally our first question, you know, given the scenario where we're sitting. But a lot of people really shy away from that. You shouldn't ask people, you know, what they do for a living. That's not how they're defined. But I think they're idiots. I think that's how what we do is part of what we are. And trying, it seems like to me, trying to shut it off at 8 o'clock, you know, at a 5 o'clock or something is just a sign that you really, I mean, I know you need to shut down in a sense of not be working all the time, but that trying to separate it is almost like you need some psychotic drugs or something. It's insanity. And that's where a lot of our corporate people are living, as you well know. What is your typical, just, you know, because you're kind of guiding me here. I'm taking it from, you know, knowing why you want to make a move. It sounds like it's kind of the first thing you might tell people. Is that fair?
Yes, absolutely. I think it's the first step.
What is that typical client of yours look like?
My clients, I mean, typically at this case, you know, they've probably had 2, 3, 4, maybe even 5 jobs. And the one they're in right now isn't necessarily working for them. They're, you know, 30s to mid 40s. And it's just, they've realized that, okay, so here's the story. The bigger story is life is no longer linear. And people don't live their lives in a straight line anymore. Where in the past, it made sense because they would go to school, get an education, get into a job. That job would pay them income, but more importantly, that job would provide them with a pension at the end of their lives, and or the end of their working years, and they could support their family from there. And living, you know, laying back in their hammock, that was success. You know, I've made it, I've finished work, I'm secure for the rest of my life. Well, these people that are, you know, they're in their 30s and 40s are saying, well, I have 20, 30 more years to go right now before I can get to that point. I don't have a pension with this current job. Why am I postponing my life until I'm 65, 67 years old when at that time I may or may not be healthy enough to really enjoy myself? So what can I do today to live the life that I want, and how does that impact my career? And maybe how can I combine my career and my life so that it's all, it works together in unison rather than, you know, distracting from one another.
Boy, I love that. I mean, I think that is just so, I mean, it's so, when you actually do that, it's so fulfilling. I mean, I've had the job, it sounds like you have too, where, you know, that Monday morning is a painful exercise, and when you look, and I just was reading a recent Gallup poll that I think it was 70% of Americans are disengaged now with work. You know, basically means they don't really like their job. They're just sitting there, you know, fulfilling the day and fulfilling the moment, but they're disengaged. And if you look further in the poll, there's a higher percentage to those who have college degrees, oddly enough. Those people who have the, you know, they're technically smarter, supposedly, you know, and they've got the better job, supposedly. They're higher income earners, and they're less likely to be happy. Yeah, there's just something wrong with that. I mean, we're living in the United States of America, and you have freedom. I mean, what you did, you have freedom to go do anything you want. Now, but with freedom, you know, take some responsibility. And I'm taking that. That's kind of where you are, you know, helping. So, I mean, so if I come to you, for instance, I'm a software developer living there in the Boston area, and you know, I've been doing this for years, really looking for an out plan. I've got some thoughts about what I want to do. What are you going to advise me to do? I mean, I'm the kind of guy you'd work with, right?
Yeah. Sure, and one caveat to that is that it doesn't necessarily have to be the Boston area. I've established my business as a virtual practice, and I have clients all over the country.
Okay,
and we communicate through video conference.
So I can be anywhere.
Yes, okay. Yes, and so now you're anywhere, and you are a software developer, and you're just not satisfied with your current position. I think one of the key things is focusing on what we can control. And what I mean by that, and this is step two in the process after figuring out what it is that you want to jump to and why, is taking a look at your current cash flow and looking at your lifestyle and, you know, truly identifying what your income is, what your expenses are, and how you are going about living today. Because if we look at the numbers, that gives us a starting point and a framework to work with. That's our foundation. That's how we're living today. So if we want to move to another company, you know, sometimes we'd be moving from one type of career and industry to another, which may bring with it a reduced salary because you don't have the experience. But you don't want to avoid that because that's what you really want to do. That's what you're passionate about. So how do we make that transition? Well, we look at our cash flow, understand what our expenses are, even understand what the minimum amount of expenses we could pay to live our lives a certain way, you know, to maintain, so that we can understand between what the new salary is and the expenses, what the gap is, if any. You know, say we're making less money, we have more expenses, and we have a negative income. Well, that doesn't work. So identifying that gap between your expenses and your income is one place we can start. Because from there, we can always say, okay, well, if I made this move, I wouldn't be making enough money to maintain. So I would have to either tap into my savings, or I would have to create some sort of side income to fill that gap. And it gives you options, right? That's the most important thing, to understand all of the options available to you and then choose the one that works best for you.
And you know, I love that, because so many times we get stuck in the, hey, this job's going to give me a $10,000 pay raise or something, and we follow the train right back into the same nightmare we're living now. And I'm just reminded, a friend of mine, you know, who had a really great job in New Orleans, you know, was an attorney, but was managing sports stuff. So in other words, he would go to all the best sporting events in the world as part of what his clients wanted to do. And so he had this great job, but he took an entrepreneurial venture, and he was telling me that when they went on this entrepreneurial venture, basically they cut their budget to the point of being unemployed. You know, they, kids don't have cable TV, you know, they, I think they even got down to one car, you know, but it, instead of being a situation of desperation, I mean, they had the cushion, the emergency fund and those kind of things that, but they cut everything to the point that if you looked at them, they looked like he was unemployed, but really he was chasing after a dream, and, you know, he sold out for $100 and something million. So it worked out for him, but it was him chasing that passion. He knew your step one there. He knew what he was going after. He wasn't just running from where he was.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a great story, because if he hadn't done it, you know, would he be questioning himself for the rest of his life?
Yeah, I mean, how often do we see that? You know, we've thought about doing so many things to do that. So I mean, so you're going to walk me through, you know, first kind of getting a path of where am I going, why am I going there, and looking at the cash flow. And I'm guessing in your case, you're actually going to sit down and let's put some numbers on the table, right?
Yes, yeah, we have to look at the actual numbers. A lot of times we'll be assuming how much we spend, how much we make, and it's going a certain way, so this is probably what it's like, and that's not really going to help us out much. As I wrote in a blog in the past, you really have to know where you are today before you can figure out where you're going tomorrow. And I compare it to going to the mall. If you go to the mall, I don't go to the mall much. But if I go, I have to go to the mall map. And I have to find the store that I want to go to on that mall map. Yep. Yet if you don't actually figure out where I am, like the "you are here" sticker, and where that is, it doesn't matter where that store is until I understand where I am, because only then can I draw a map from a line from point A to point B. So establishing that foundation, understanding your cash flow and your assets and your liability, your net worth overall, is very factual, because that's just how it is today. There's nothing right or wrong about it. It's just what's so. And once we establish what's so, we can actually start making more impactful decisions on our future.
Okay. Okay, I mean, excellent. I think that is, essentially, it's a map, you know, starting point, ending point. And it's always amazing to me, most people don't really, until you've sat down and put numbers to the table, which is, I'm sure it's always shocking, you know, when people see it, because that's my experience. When people actually see the numbers, they can't believe. I mean, if you ask people what they spend on, what they're spending on groceries a month, people, their numbers are ridiculous compared to what the reality is. They way underestimate.
Sure.
You know, and they're wondering where their money's going, of course. Okay, so you get the path straight, you get the money straight, you know, kind of you get a picture of what's going on. What are we going to do? You've helped me kind of get a figure of that and a figure of that. Am I ready to jump? Is it?
Not quite. So now you understand your cash flow, you understand why you're going to make the move. The next step is to design a contingency plan. Because as much as we'd like this first move to be the one, it may not be. Especially, and a lot of people actually move out of the corporate environment and go to a startup company or launch their own company. And the reality is that it's not always going to work. So rather than get into a bind and realize that, oh no, this isn't working, now we have to figure out something different, have that plan B and that plan C in place before you even make the move. Because once that emergency comes along, it's a lot less stressful if you have a plan B than trying to design a plan B when you're struggling to pay your rent or your mortgage.
And what would be, I mean, from somebody you've worked with anything, what would be an example of a plan B, plan C arrangement?
Well, I mean, one of the easiest ways to do it, and it's not necessarily the most productive, but it's a safety net, is to talk with your current employer and tell them what you're up to. You know, a lot of times this may not be the case that there's some bad blood there, but if it's a clean break and you're leaving for a specific reason and it's not to a competitive company, then you can say to them, listen, I really want to go out on my own and start this company. I don't know if it's going to work. If it doesn't work, down the road in a year or so, or 6 months, whatever it is, would you be open to me coming back and having a conversation to get my job back? I mean, that might sound ridiculous to some people because you're leaving the company for a reason, but it's a safety net. I mean, it's either that or you're on the street somewhere. So establishing something like that as a fallback is certainly the responsible way to do it.
Yeah, I mean, and what's so weird is I find a lot of people I find a lot of people intimidated. They don't want to do that, and they, they feel like that's what they're running from, and part of what they're running from is really the corporate environment, being in there, being an employee, you know, not having the freedom to explore some other things. But that's where their cash is coming from now. And so many times when they go in back and have that conversation, they actually end up with a very positive experience. I mean, it's not always the case, but I've seen so many people that their current employer says, you know, we support you in what you're doing. Not only that, but we would like to be your first client. You know, but so many people are, they don't want to have that conversation. You know, they just want to, hey, I quit and take this job and shove it and, you know, but it wasn't necessary. And I think, you know, in that, you know, you have to kind of think about, is it your boss that you hate? Is it the corporate that you hate? Or is it that you just, it's not a fit for you? I know when I worked for, you know, a large corporation, I realized that there was nothing evil about the corporation. There's nothing evil about the people that were there. It was just, you know, I was the square peg trying to fit in the round hole, and it wasn't a fit.
Exactly.
You know, and so I love the plan B and plan C, thinking through that. I mean, you've probably seen a lot of people that do end up, they go back, they realize that, hey, what they thought was going to be fun isn't as much fun, and now they realize going back is what they want to do. I mean, do you see a lot of people make that move back?
I wouldn't say it's a lot of people, but it certainly happens, and it's fine. You know, you're getting it out of your system.
Yeah.
If you have this thought and you go after it and it doesn't work, at least you said you tried.
That's right. I mean, I have one of my clients that he kind of bailed and went to, he was a salesman for industrial, you know, industrial equipment. So he wore blue jeans and everything all day, you know, going into factories. And he started selling high-end financial services to basically CEOs of Fortune 500. So he, you know, his dress was different. What he did was different. His lunches were different. You know, he took the flying the corporate jet mode. And then, you know, after a while, he was like, well, this is great. I love it, but not more travel than I wanted. And he went back to his company. And what happened is, because that external experience actually helped him grow so much, the company brought him back in charge of sales. You know, he was kind of double promoted when he got back. Yeah, so it was a win for even his corporate job that he went back to. They won. I mean, they got a guy that knew what was going on, but now he was better prepared and could do more for them because he had gone off and tried this entrepreneurial, or in his case, it wasn't an entrepreneurial venture, but he'd gone off and tried something else, and it was just such a win for everybody.
Yeah, that makes perfect sense to me.
Well, Eric, I know you are about to run off, and you are now. What university are you working with right now? Can you say?
It's not. I'm not working with the university. I'm actually in a dorm room right now, in Boston at a college, and I'm working with a program called Young Entrepreneur Challenge, and it's high school students from all over the world coming here to Boston to work in groups and actually launch their own, well, create their own idea and pitch their business by the end of the week on Saturday to a group of 100 people. So it's a huge experience for these young kids to get an understanding about what it takes to be an entrepreneur. And it's going to be awesome this week.
I love that kind of stuff. Is fun, isn't it?
It's great because I can share my experiences with them and just see. I mean, I didn't know what an entrepreneur was when I was in high school. So
yeah, me neither.
Now it's crazy.
Now, and how often have you just imagined once you started a company you would be living in a dorm for a week?
Never. And it's great. I love it. It's freedom in itself because this is something that I wouldn't have been doing if I was working in the corporate world. I wouldn't be helping these kids out. And no. I can do this and run my company at the same time, and there's nothing better.
I love it. That's right. So here you are, you're earning a living, you're doing something on your own, and you're actually giving back at the same time instead of doing it on the weekend or waiting till you retire kind of to give back. I mean, to me, that's a huge win.
Yeah, it's exactly what I do for my business too, right? I'm teaching these kids the same types of things that I would teach my clients. So it's just all, like I said, my life is just all one place. There's not this segregated package of things.
Excellent. Well, before you go, and I know, so you're about to go over there and hang out with them and spend a busy day. How do people get in touch with you? What's the best way to get it, to contact you, to learn more about what you're doing?
Sure. I think the easiest way would be to go to my website, which is www.beyondyourhammock.com. And you could also reach me on Twitter at Beyond Finances or on Facebook, Beyond Your Hammock.
Okay. And I will put all that in the show notes and have that up there with all the links and everything to go to it for anybody that wants to get access to that information. So thank you so much. Anything else that you need to add for us, Eric?
Dale, I really appreciate you having me on today and having this conversation with somebody who gets it, you. It is really outstanding, and to be able to share my experience and my passion with your audience is fantastic. One thing I would say, as I've mentioned before, is you really want to focus on those things that you can control in your life, because there's so many things that we can't control, and that just makes us go crazy if we're focusing in the wrong place. So by looking at what we can control, we can actually identify those things that we can't and, just kind of take those as they come. But we have power in what we can control.
I love that. I've written that down. I think that's a great thing to remember instead of chasing after all those other things. Well, all right, Eric, it is wonderful. Been wonderful having you on here, and we look forward to hearing more from you.
All right. Thanks a lot, Dale.
All right. Thanks.